Good morning.
Good morning. I think that was good, didn't it?
Full of energy. Full of energy. It's good to see everybody today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad if you wouldn't mind. Write down your name. Give us contact information if you choose. And send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once that last person is done, what we ask is that you send it back to where it got started today. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. A couple of things I'll draw your attention to. Things are listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. We are having children's time today, so invite the kids to come down and meet with me for just a few moments. Normal Sunday evening schedule, so make note of that. For our youth, today is the final day to sign up for Caswell. So if you guys can help me get that deposit money in so we can start making those plans for Caswell in a month. College Parkers, you guys missed this past Thursday due to the weather. There are some time-sensitive things to sign up for. There is a table as you come in the church that there for you to sign up. So we encourage you to go by there today if you have any questions about some events that are coming up for College Parkers. Also, because of the ice and the snow, we missed our primary basketball league this past Thursday night. So this Thursday is the last night of primary basketball, and we look forward to that. We also missed our Ash Wednesday service, and so we are actually going to do that this coming Wednesday, and Raymond will have more details about that later in the service. Let's see, any other announcements? Oh, book club tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Be there.
Be there.
Should they have read the book?
It's helpful.
It's helpful to read the book to come to book club tomorrow at 7 o'clock. But everybody is welcome to be a part of that time. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Anybody tired of ice yet? Aren't you glad we don't live in Boston?
Well, they got snow.
100 inches of snow. 100 inches of snow. God is good, but can you imagine 100 inches of snow in Winston-Salem? They wouldn't go to school till 2016. But it is nice to have a little downtime for the teachers, for the students. But it has been a mess. But aren't we grateful that we serve a God who loves us even in the midst of mess? Even in the midst of difficulties, He stays with us and He walks with us. That's the kind of God that we love and that we serve. Not a distant God who sees our troubles and waves at us, but a God who walks with us through our troubles. That's why we come to worship. Let us prepare to worship Him now. Pray with me. Jesus, Lord, Savior, King, name above all other names. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in his name, to worship you, to sing praises to you, to hear directly from your throne of grace. Thank you for this time that we have, this community of believers where we can come and to share our burdens, to encourage one another, and to lift you up together. May everything that's done in this place be done to glorify your name. We invite you. We need you to be in this place. For only when you are here does our worship make sense. Only when we acknowledge you as Lord does our lives make sense. So come here, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids. Now, congregation, when y'all sing New Mercies I See, you can't not smile when you sing that song, right? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Can you just give me a smile? Thank you. Yeah, that's what I love to hear y'all sing when you're smiling. I got it. Now, does anybody know? Has anybody seen one of these this week? Oh, has anybody used one of these this week? Well, I did. There was some ice at Matthew My House this week. Y'all have ice and snow in your driveway? Or yeah. Well, I want to tell you a story. You ready to listen to a story? Now, I like the snow just as much as everybody else, because I like going sledding. Do you like going sledding in the snow on a big hill? Good. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about what happened to me this week. Now, I have a shovel. It's kind of like this, but it's a little bit bigger at my house. And my driveway was full of ice. Now, when you walk around on ice, what happens? You fall over and you can get hurt. So, and the cars can't drive really good on ice. So, I had to shovel the driveway to get all the ice out of the way so that nobody would fall and our car could get out and go wherever we needed to go, get out of the house, right? So, I watched. That was the coolest thing that happened. When the sun comes up, it was cold every day, right? It was cold. Like, you had to put on multiple layers and gloves, and you walk out of the house like this because you have so many things on, right? Well, it was so cold. But what happens when the sun comes out? It starts, the snow melts. Everything starts melting. And you know what I remembered this week? That even though I had to get out there and get that ice up because I didn't want anybody to fall, that sun came in. And it melted everything away. And I was reminded of the story Pastor Raymond's going to tell in a little while. About the story when it rained and rained and rained. And Noah built that boat. And God said, look, I'm never going to make it rain so much ever again. And I'm going to send you this thing in the sky. What was that thing in the sky?
Rainbow.
That's exactly right. When that rainbow comes in the sky, to remember God is always there. Just like when the sun came out and melted that ice and reminded me that God was always there, that rainbow reminds us God is always with us. Even when we've got the snow and the ice and it's so cold, God is there. The rainbow in the sky is a reminder that God is there. And we can trust Him that He's never going to leave us. And that's a pretty good promise, right? That God's never going to leave you. Even when you're scared, even when you're hurt, He's never going to leave you or me. Is that pretty cool to think about? He's never going to leave. And He's never going to stop loving you. That's a pretty cool thing to remember. Will you pray with me? God, thank You for reminding us. When the sun comes up, or when we see a rainbow, You do not leave us. You always love us. No matter what we do or where we go, You love us. And You want to be near us. What a cool promise that is to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. You go back to your seats now.
This is the first Sunday in Lent, and as such, we will spend a little bit more time in our worship services dealing with the preparation time, preparation of our heart as we journey together to the cross. And as part of that service, as part of these services, there will be times for celebration, but there'll also be times for reflection, as generally most worship services are. But we will also focus in a little bit more in terms of confession. Looking at our own hearts and seeing where we are in our relationship with God and mending the relationship there and by confessing our sins to the Father. And as we begin in a time of confession today, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 18. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. How is that possible? How are our sins taken away? How are our bodies, how are our minds, how are our hearts made pure again? God has provided a way through confession. I want us to read together responsibly. I'll read the light print. If you'll join me in reading the dark print, a prayer of confession. It's a guided prayer today. We'll do it different ways on different weeks, but today we have a guided prayer. And I hope that instead of just reading the words, that you would truly follow along, and that would be your prayer this morning, a prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering far from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive us our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus made it all.
Are you ready for Lent? Does anybody ask you that this week? Hey, I'm ready. But that's not the Lent we're talking about, is it? This is Lent with an I. It's about us. It's about the stuff that sticks to your clothes. And what does it do? Makes your clothes look dingy, drab. But this is the refresher. You can pull that lint away from your clothes to make you look neater, cleaner, nicer. The lint with an E is what we're talking about today. The word comes from a word that suggests spring. Spring is on its way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But is there a thing like this for lint with an E? There is. It's right here. It's God's word. It's the roller that removes all that stuff that sticks to us each day, that drags us down, makes us not quite so spiritual, makes us sort of caught up in all of our stuff. I got an email from a very good friend this week that challenged me not to find something to give up for Lent, but rather to find something that will get us closer to God,
That's what Raymond was talking about last week. Find something in the Lenten season that will provide you that closeness. Maybe it's scripture. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's both. Probably is for all of us. Use that roller that God provides us, the grace that he gives us through his word. Aren't we so thankful for that? Let's bow our heads and give thanks for that. Lord, we're thankful for Lent with an E, the E of eternal life. We're grateful, Lord, that you give us a Lent roller in the words that you speak through your word, through the conversations that we can have with you, that access to you to give us the roller that we need to discard the stuff that sticks to us each day, that drags us down, that dims our light that we want to shine for you. Lord, for all of that, we are so, so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord, for the promise of the Lenten season, the promise of spring, the promise of the light, and the resurrection of Easter that's coming. Thank you, Lord, for so many things, for this greatest gift that we will celebrate at Easter, the gift of the choice of eternal life through you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless the gifts that we give today, Lord, that they may bless your kingdom, that it may spread to those who aren't fortunate enough to know. And help us, Lord, as we go each day to help spread that word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
isn't it interesting that when the preacher walks out during the service, the different reactions, I can tell you what staff thinks. Staff thinks, oh my, where is he? Who's going to have to preach? Who's going to step up? Who's got one in the back of their Bible? And of course, the congregation is thinking something entirely different. They're thinking, wow, we're going to beat the Methodist at the cafeteria today. He's not gone. But Bill, I heard your commentary out in the hallway there about Lent, and it reminded me of a conversation I had this week, and it relates to the Ash Wednesday service. You know, we missed it because of the snow and ice, and some of you called and asked, well, are we going to have it? Are we going to reschedule it? And so we've had quite a bit of groundswell in terms of can we have the Ash Wednesday service? And the staff and I talked about it. We talked about it with the band on Thursday night, and we're like, you know, it seems a little awkward, perhaps, that we do Ash Wednesday, which is officially the beginning of Lent, after we have the first Sunday of Lent. So we thought, I really don't know. And then my wife and I went to eat at a popular restaurant not far from here one day this week, and ran into two of my favorite people in the whole world. And these ladies asked if we were going to have Ash Wednesday service. And I said, well, we're kind of struggling with that right now. We're trying to decide. And both of them said, well, we just wish that you would. And I said, well, you know, here's kind of what we're struggling with. And, you know, doing it after it starts seems a little awkward. And one of those ladies, bless her heart, sweet, says, you know, here's how I look at it. It's like Christmas with your family. It doesn't matter whether you have it before the day, on the day, or after the day. It's still Christmas with your family. And I told her, I said, I surrender. That's, yeah, I agree. I had never really thought about it that way, and I appreciate your insight. So we left there. They were fairly confident I was going to come back and make amends and fix it and get an email out. But just in case, as we were leaving, the other lady looked at my wife and said, you know, we'd really like to have that, sir. And I haven't mentioned their names because I don't want to embarrass them, but they are precious, precious saints and great insight and great encouragement to us this week that's exactly what we need to do. It is a wonderfully meaningful service. If you've never been to that service, you've got a chance. This coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here for our Ash Wednesday service. And although that does officially begin the season of Lent, you know, this is the first Sunday of Lent. And I'm curious, really, as to how many of you in the context of this week, I know Tuesday was kind of an awkward day because of all the snow and ice. How many of you celebrated Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday on Tuesday? How many of you celebrated? No? Nobody. Did you eat donuts, or did you pig out on pancakes, or did you clean up your house, or did you get rid of all your yeast from last year? Nobody? See, those are traditional Fat Tuesday activities. Nobody did that. I didn't either. I didn't do any of those things. I didn't go to New Orleans. Although that would have been warm weather. That would have been nice. But you know, the season of Lent, it's kind of interesting because, you know, when my sister was a high school English teacher, she would listen to these kids talk about the really crazy things they were planning on doing on Mardi Gras. And she said, are you going to observe Lent as well? And they said, well, no, we don't know what that is. And she said, oh, well, you can't do that. That's culturally improper. What do you mean, Miss Mathis? Well, say, if you celebrate Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday, then you must observe Lent. They go together. Oh. Well, maybe we just won't celebrate Mardi Gras. Maybe that's easier. And I see, there's so much wrapped up baggage-wise in this whole thing of Lent. And why is it so significant? Is it about losing extra pounds that you put on during the winter? Is it maybe saving up and giving a little extra money to missions? Yeah, there you go. Or maybe, as I said last week and as Bill repeat it. And it's not about what you give up. It's what you are drawn closer to. The person of Jesus Christ. Consider who God is to you. What is the nature of your relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father? Last week at lunchtime, we were struggling a little bit with etymology of the word Lent. The Lent is actually from an old English word meaning to lengthen. Okay, and it refers to the lengthening of days that begins in springtime. You know, our ancestors of faith used it as kind of a reminder. You know, for the we experience new life in spring as the days get longer, as warmth and flowers and all of that break forth from the cold grasp of winter, we hope. But see, during that time, we also should consider our life, our death, our eternal life, our relationship with the Creator of all of this, and the Creator of life eternal through Jesus Christ. So it has a steep tradition, not only practically speaking in the church today, but deep, deep into Christendom. Our ancestors in faith put together a series of readings for each Sunday. And it is related in a way to Lent because they put this together. We call it the lectionary. You've heard me talk about the Revised Common Lectionary, which is what we pattern our readings and worship from. Well, the reason they did that is the lectionary was put together during a time when people could not read. And so they devised a systematic way for God's Word to hear the story of the Bible over a year, 2 years, 3 year kind of a pattern. Cover all the major themes, most of the major passages of Scripture. And that's how we proceed through Scripture as well. So this season of Lent, we're going to use not only God's Word in a lectionary form, we will be reading from and teaching from the lectionary text, but this year I also want to include an extra biblical text to help us to understand what God may be trying to teach us through the lectionary text. It's based on a book written by Patrick Lencioni. It's called The Five Dysfunctions of Team. The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And he teaches in this book some very simple, practical ideas about how to work together. Work together as people. Work together as a team. It's practical things that we probably already know, but it gives us ways to implement them into our everyday life. The first and perhaps biggest dysfunction that happens in teams of people as well as in our relationship with God is the absence of trust. The lack of trust. And we'll leave that sitting there. Let that simmer for just a moment. We'll get back to it. Our text, our lectionary text, is from the first book of the Bible. It's from Genesis. Genesis. Genesis begins with this whole creation story, and it talks about how God created humans with the ability to choose what's right and just and good or not. We can choose what's good, we can choose what's best for us, we can choose what's just, or we can choose not. It's kind of like a parent with a two-year-old who wants to touch the stove. And they say, no, you can't touch the stove because parents are all about not having fun. I'm kidding. We don't tell our children they can't touch the stove because we don't want them to have fun. We tell them not to touch the stove because we know that they are ill-prepared to deal with the consequences of not working the stove correctly. Right? Give me a little feedback here. Yeah, that is why you do it, right? Okay. All right. The same kind of thing happens when we read Genesis. You know, God takes Adam and Eve and he puts them in the Garden of Eden. This wonderful stove. And he says, don't touch that button up there. He says, do not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Because he didn't want them to have fun. No. Because he knew that they were ill-equipped to handle that knowledge at that point. Yeah. I'll get going here in a minute, Rita. Yeah. You see, and at that moment, at that exact moment when God says you are not going to have fun because you can't eat that fruit, no. Because he said you're ill-equipped You can have everything else. Just leave that be. Just leave that be. And then the serpent shows up. And he talks Eve into the fruit, and she talks Adam into the fruit. Because after all, what does the Creator of all things know? Why would God want to keep this fruit from you? Perhaps he's trying to hide something. Perhaps he doesn't want you to have fun. You see that? You almost hear the hissing when I say that, couldn't you? Yeah. What? That's what happens. That's exactly what happens when you begin to mistrust somebody. What are you hiding from me? What's your ulterior motive? What agenda do you have? What is it that makes you begin to question their motives? And Lencioni in his book would say, well, let me subtitle this chapter, The State of Being Invulnerable. The state of being invulnerable. We are not willing to be vulnerable with that person. We are not willing to trust them. So we begin to take matters into our own hands. That's what Adam and Eve did. They took matters in their own hands. They said, okay, we'll eat it. And what happened? With that simple act, that one act, they allowed mistrust to enter their relationship with God. They chose to allow a break in trust with their Creator, who told them, I've made all of this for you. God tries to warn their firstborn. Genesis chapter 4. He tries to warn their firstborn that sin is crouching there at the door of his heart. But he doesn't trust God, nor does he ask God for help, and he takes matters into his own hands, and he does what? Kills his brother. Kills his brother Abel, the first murderer in the Bible. So we're just four chapters into the human history, and they're already killing each other. By the sixth chapter of Genesis, sin and evil have so overtaken the earth that God says, enough of this. And so he talks to Noah. He chose him. He taught Noah how to build an ark for his family and the animals. And after the flood was over, God made a covenant with Noah and all living things on the earth. Now, we understand what a covenant is. It's an agreement. It's an agreement between two or more parties. It's a contractual agreement, if you will, in our modern terms, between two parties. Now, there usually are stipulations in this agreement, correct? There are things, there's some sort of structure to the covenant, there are stipulations, and we find the stipulations for this first contract that we're going to talk about in the first seven verses of chapter 9 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will still demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Those are the stipulations. And then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Here it is. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between you between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life upon earth." See, a couple different times in this covenant, in this passage, God restates the first commandment that he gave humans in Genesis chapter 1, which was be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is actually a very practical thing they're going to need to do because all of mankind has been wiped out. So obviously they're going to need to multiply and refill the earth. And then next, God tells them that all the animals on the ground, in the air, in the sea, will now in a certain extent, to a certain extent, fear mankind because they're now food. Okay? They're now food. They're a food source. Only they're not to eat the blood of the animals. And maybe the most important part of the agreement is that God will require a reckoning for a life that has been taken by an animal or by a human. And God signs what we'll call this covenant, the Noahic covenant, with the rainbow. The rainbow. It's a promise. Despite what has become in our culture, it is a sacred promise between God and man. A rainbow is the sign that God will never again destroy the whole earth with a flood. And God begins to rebuild the trust between God and humans through this covenant tool, through this contract with us. It's one of many that will follow, one of many covenants that will follow. And each time it's God reaching down to us because he knows we're not capable of pleasing him in the way that we think we need to please him. We're flawed creatures. We're selfish. And so he begins the process each time. He instigates the covenants each time, reaching down to us. And it prompts in my mind the question, if God teaches us by reaching to us and establishing covenants, if God trusts us, if he starts the process of building trust with us, how do we rebuild trust in our own lives? How do we do that? How do we rebuild trust relationship with God? How do we rebuild trust relationships with each other? When there's an absence of trust, the beginning of rebuilding trust always begins with someone willing to take that first step. To be vulnerable. To be vulnerable. And we don't like to do that, do we? It's difficult. If you've ever been hurt, it's difficult to make yourself vulnerable again, isn't it? It hurts to hurt. It's tough to make yourself vulnerable. But see, God begins that process with Noah. And in a way, God starts all over again. He says, Noah, the earth and all that's in it, it's still yours. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Let your heart become more like mine so that you can learn to get along with each other. As it would be stated in the mind of a preschooler, be nice. Be nice. Be sweet. Consider one another as I consider our relationship. Consider one another in that same fashion. Because God loves us first, we are in turn able to love one another. Because God extended forgiveness to us first, we are in turn able to forgive one another. Because God puts the past behind and says, we'll start fresh. Let's build this trust relationship again. We ought to do the same with one another. And that begs a big question that gets really personal. During this season of Lent, who is it that you need to rebuild trust with? And what are the boundaries? What are the What are the things that are keeping us from doing that? And what are we going to do to take steps to rebuild that trust? It's difficult, I know. I understand. And probably in your own mind, the name of a person has come to mind already. And you're going, wow, really, Lord? You want me to rebuild a relationship with them? You see, like Jesus, are you ready to follow God's calling no matter where it leads you? The season of Lent is about following Christ to the cross. Do we really understand what that means? And if we are following him, are we going to be obedient to the Father's bidding just as he was obedient? Are you willing to be vulnerable with God? Are you willing to invite God into your life and to listen to where he leads you? I understand. They're tough questions. But you need to understand. That's exactly what God desires for us. He wants us to be free from the baggage of broken relationships. You know, I once heard it said that hatred or resentment in a relationship is kind of like someone drinking poison expecting the other person to die. Wow. Hadn't really put it together like that. There's a lot of truth there. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we're prideful, flawed creatures. But you've told us through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can become new creatures. The old passed away. The new has come. So we claim that. We claim that this morning, even as a name or a person has come to our mind, or even as a situation has come to our mind, that we need to be vulnerable and to take the initiative to try to rebuild the trust. Even as all of that's going on in our mind, Father, we know that you have provided the way to do it. You've provided the power by which to do so. And Father, that you hold us accountable for our actions. That we're not accountable for other people's actions. We are accountable for our actions before you. And so we pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would give us the gentle, sweet spirit that we need to make ourselves vulnerable to restore relationships. Father, give us that opportunity this week. Give us an opportunity to bless you and to show that we truly are Christ ones as we reach out to those who are hurting and as we set aside our own hurt. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have the basis for that relationship, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't have that personal relationship with him, I'll be here as we sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Also, you can call me this week. I'd be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, you were kind of, you know, spot on. Well, it wasn't me that was spot on. It's God's word speaking through me today to each of us about this particular topic. And I invite you, if you kind of run into a brick wall there and need to talk about that, speak with the Father. He wants to talk with you about that. If you'd like to talk with me, I'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever decision you want to do there. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, I can tell you, I've been here almost 23 years now. I highly recommend it. It is a wonderful fellowship of believers. There are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing. this journey together, so I invite you after the benediction and the response, greet one another, encourage one another. If there's people around you you haven't had a chance to meet, maybe they're guests with us today, be sure and offer to them a word of encouragement and greeting as well. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it's a challenge for us to hear your word and to know what you desire for us. But Father, it's a challenge that you have provided the means, the way, the power, the strength, and the guidance. And we just need to be obedient. As your children, we pray that we would be obedient this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.